Hello, and welcome to a very special episode of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week, we have a very ad-centric listener-submitted top five for you.
Yeah, that's what we've got.
That's what we got for you.
We're going to be doing our top five favorite commercials.
That's right.
And this is a listener-submitted top five, so we're very, very excited.
Steve, I believe I said that after the ad-centric.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was so blinded by your brilliance.
Well, you're about to be blinded by my brilliance during this week's top five. So without further ado, let's start the show. Steven, I'm coming back triumphant from an audition.
Oh, my.
Yes, I walked in, beat everybody up, took home the belt, and now I'm the Rent Audition WWE Champion.
That is fantastic. Wes, I'm sorry. I didn't have the dough. I did not buy the pay-per-view to watch you win today. I'm sorry.
Oh, man, you should have seen me. The main event, me versus the accompanist, knocked his ass out.
Wow. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I know this is about your audition story, but I think you will approve of this. My buddy Dan, who's been on the podcast, just told me this, and I think this is brilliant. I know you don't like sports. I know you don't like fantasy football, but one of the big things is how you determine the order in which you are going to draft your teams. Mm-hmm. Most guys just do random names out of a hat. Listen to how his league is figuring out how they draft.
Mm-hmm.
His buddy has WWE, and it's like 2K14 or something like that. He's drawing names out of the hat. Whoever pulls their name out first gets first pick of a wrestler from WWE. Then once everyone picks their wrestler, they're going to set up a CPU simulation of a Royal Rumble. So you're not controlling your dude. And who's ever got, like, if the first person out is the last pick.
Oh my god!
The second to last, like second person out, second to last. So whoever wins the Royal Rumble will win the first pick in their draft.
That's awesome.
It's so good, dude.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So sorry.
So enough of that bullshit. Let's get back to me and my singing.
Yes.
So
wrestling.
So this is my first audition, let alone musical audition. In 5 freaking years.
It's a long time.
Yeah. I've been asked to come in and read some parts for, like, friends of mine or friends of friends that recommended me. But this is my first time getting up in front of a panel of directors and just strutting my stuff. You know, this is a striptease audition, actually.
Right.
Yeah. Strutting my stuff up there the best I can do. And for my first audition in 5 years, it went pretty well.
Nice, man.
Yeah. It was a little weird because every audition I've been on, you know, 5 years ago, there's so many actors and actresses in waiting to go on stage. They're always singing their songs, and the anxiety is palpable. You can cut it with a knife. This audition, I just walked into this theater and talked to the person, filled out some forms. She's like, okay, they're ready. I was like, whoa, now? She's like, yeah. And I walked in, and I legitimately asked her, am I auditioning now?
Your time has started, sir.
Yeah. She
oh, la 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 la.
And bless her little heart, she said, yes, you're auditioning now. And I was like, oh, okay. She thinks I'm mentally handicapped.
Sure does.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So I had to be like, no, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't on deck or something. Oh, okay. So I walked.
So a real smooth start.
Yeah, exactly. So already in my head, whatever. And then I notice I'm walking right by the panel of directors on my way to the stage. So I have to be like, oh, hey. And they're like, oh, hey. And they're all calm and collected. And I'm like a ball of nerves. So, you know, I get up there. I talk to my accompanist, introduce myself. And I kick the first song's ass.
Nice.
Dude, I rocked it. In fact, here it is. Ready? Oh! Did you like that?
Sure did.
Next! Then they asked me, do you have another song that you can sing?
Always a good thing.
Always a good thing. And I said, yes. I knew this was... And they said,
next!
You are cast.
Sir. Unbelievable.
And as soon as I said yes, I realized something. I knew this was a possibility, but I didn't really prepare for it.
Sure.
My first song was from an actual musical. This second song I had prepared is from the pop rock genre, because it's Ren Pop Rock, and a lot of Rent auditions, they just want you to do pop rock songs. So I prepared George Michael's Faith. This song, I fucking rock at karaoke. So I was like, oh yeah, well, I will rock the shit out of this at auditions. Not thinking, this isn't karaoke.
It's true, it really isn't.
This is one dude on a piano plunking out the notes as best he can.
Yeah, and especially on Faith, the notes are plunk, 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 plunk.
Yep. So I started rushing pretty bad near the end.
Well, I guess women ask for touch about it, no, no, everybody. Thank you very much, gotta go. My name is Wes.
And I flew off the stage. Because I didn't have that karaoke box in front of me with the words turning a different color telling me when to sing.
Your ability to notice the difference between auditions and karaoke, it is unbelievable, sir.
I tell you what, man, I think that's really going to help me.
Wow. Wow. I look forward to your master class on karaoke versus auditions.
And I forgot one of the best things I learned when I was first learning how to audition. It's when you get done with your audition, you take a breath, then you say thank you. I forgot that breath, so it was kind of like, faith, the faith, the thank you.
And they're like, faith, bye. See you later.
And then they had one question for me about the forms, whatever, left. And so they left. And I was like alone on stage. No, I left, and I was like, oh. All in all, not bad.
Good.
Not bad. I rushed that second song. Should have taken more time on the thank you. You know, should have been more confident. You know, on the final moment that they see me. But whatever, man. It went really well. And it was like I told you off mic, I have a second audition for a paid production of Rent. This was for an unpaid production, but this paid production will be this Sunday, so this acted as a good dress rehearsal.
Absolutely, that's great, man.
Yeah,
that's great.
So, what have you done with your night, Steve?
Well, not this night, not this night,
not this day,
but a different day over the weekend. I finally did it, Wes. I got all of the Riddler trophies in Arkham Knight.
I feel like you told me this before.
I did tell you this, but I did not tell anyone over the microphone this.
Oh, okay.
So it was this really cool moment that. For anyone, you know, going after collectibles where there's kind of puzzles involved, if there's a whole bunch of them, I think a lot of people do it in a similar fashion where you walk up to it and be like, I don't get this one, I'll come back. And you go do some other easy ones, you say another one, I don't quite get it. And you come back to it. So you eventually end up leaving all these difficult ones for the end. And that's kind of where I got to. And I was like, oh man, for these last 30, I'm going to have to use a walkthrough, and I hate using walkthroughs. But for some reason, the stars aligned in just a perfect way that all of these things that I had not seen before, I now saw perfect. It was like towards the ends of The Matrix when Neo can then see the code as he's in The Matrix. He's like, wait, it's exactly how these Riddler trophies were for me. I was like, yes, oh, of course, it's here. Ah, you're mine, Riddler. And then, so of 243 Riddler trophies.
Way too many.
Way too many. I had to use a walkthrough for only 4.
Okay.
And when I saw the walkthrough for them, I'm like, you know what? I'm really glad I used the walkthrough because there's no way I would have gotten these. They're just kind of hidden off to the side, places I didn't even realize I could get Batman to go to. I was like, no way. So I got them. I saw the actual ending of the game. It's very cool. I really dug it. So,
was the ending just the credits?
It was really good. There's so many credits.
Oh, wow.
So as a wrap on Arkham Knight for a little, I 100%ed the game. So I have the new game plus to go through, some extra stuff to do, but I'll be doing that at my own leisure.
Sure.
So I beat that, and then I had a...
Did you... Beat to beat to beat that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And then I saw a good movie and I saw a bad movie this weekend.
Tell me all about them.
I saw The Babadook on Saturday.
I've heard that's amazing.
It is very good. Mm-hmm. In as we've talked about before, horror movies, you know, very, very thin, excellent top layer that are fantastic. a slightly bigger next layer that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's like the epidermis and the dermis.
Exactly. This is a dermis. This is a dermis
it's,
right
it's
here.
It's a dermis?
This is a dermis.
We need to put that on the poster.
It's the review by Steve. This is dermis. So it is good. It is not as good as The Conjuring,
sure.
But I was definitely scared. I was definitely scared. You might have heard some heavy panting right there. I was just thinking about the Babadook, and I got a little flustered. No, that was Sammy Man, the puppy right next to me.
That's right, little Sammy Man. So that's a dermis.
The dermis, it was good.
I
recommend giving it a watch. It's good.
What was the blubber underneath the dermis?
Man, honestly, this movie is fucking terrible.
I can't wait.
I watched Jupiter Ascending.
Why would you do that? That movie's like a day and a half long.
I will tell you why I watched it. This is...
Because you're Channing Tatum crush.
Because god damn Channing Tatum.
Have you seen those dance moves?
Because my wife wanted to watch the movie.
Because of Channing Tatum.
Partially because of Channing Tatum, but also because we live in the city of Chicago and they filmed a significant portion of this in the city of Chicago.
Chicago Tatum.
Shy-tum.
That's right.
She didn't know how much of this movie took place in Chicago. Let me tell you, it is not enough to warrant watching the movie.
No.
It is bad.
Yeah.
It is bad. It has a 25 right now on Rotten Tomatoes, and I honestly give this movie about a 16.
Whoa.
This movie fucking sucks.
For reference, Steve gave Deathstalker like a 22.
I like Deathstalker way more than Jupiter Ascending.
God damn.
Way more.
God damn it.
I will just... Now, there's any spoilers to give away here, because it's so convoluted and bad. The Mila Kunis' character, Jupiter Jones...
Oh, good.
Or, at one point, one of her lines is, oh, just call me Jupe.
Just call me Jupe?
Just call me Jupe. No. How about no? How about nobody ever calls you Jupe? Ever. What?
Who? What? It's like, just call me Pater.
What? No. She, honestly, two-thirds of her lines are just asking questions.
Yeah.
Just asking questions. Good. Why is this here? Why do I have to do that? Who are you? Wait, why do I have to do that? For two-thirds of her movie. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. They give Channing Tatum some sort of weird, half-ass blonde dye job.
Oh, good.
Looks just so awful.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Redmayne, Academy Award-winning actor, is kind of the villain in this movie.
Sure.
Horrible.
Yeah.
He is horrible. The CGI is so over the top. It is one of the worst edited movies I've seen in a long time. It's bad.
Well, Steve, I saw a good movie, and I saw a great movie. Now, this is Epidermis level great
movie.
Oh,
my.
Yes, yes. This, I watched with our good friends Raph and Michaela. I watched Whiplash, finally.
Oh, I've been wanting to see that.
You haven't seen it yet?
No.
Oh, my God, Steve.
I said this before. It's so stupid. I'm a drummer. I love Oscar movies.
J.K. Simmons?
J.K. Simmons is apparently just unbelievable.
Oh, he's great.
And for some reason, this movie that is basically catered to everything I want it to be, I've not yet seen.
Well, I won't talk any more about it, except it's one of my favorite movies I've seen in the last 5 years.
Yeah, you're not the only one to say that.
It's freaking great.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say. That's
dermis.
All I'll say.
That's epidermis levels.
Yeah, but that's like the hair follicle levels.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. How about that?
How about it?
This is getting really disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's keep going.
Hey.
that's what I've seen. I beat Skulls of the Shogun. And okay. Have you started playing that yet?
No, because it turns out I didn't download it when it was out.
Well, why, Steve? You download everything.
I usually do. I was surprised I didn't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I did download the Drive Club this last month.
I'm not a fan of racing games.
I do like to occasionally play a racing game.
Okay.
I can't sit down and play them for weeks on end like I do an Arkham Knight or a soon-to-be Metal Gear 5, which I am now starting to get really pumped about.
I see you have the shakes.
We're a few weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting real pumped about it. But I really do like a good racing game from time to time.
Okay.
But this, excuse me, this fucking game, this is just the ultimate, like, cock tease game. Because this is Drive Club PlayStation Plus edition.
Okay.
So they give you I don't know, a couple of cars, and they're beautiful. Like, the game is beautiful, as a racing game should be. Because all they have to do is cars and a track. That's it. There's not a whole lot more. They give you a couple of cars. They give you a couple tracks, but they put all these other races in the game. Mm-hmm. So, no, you just have to upgrade to whatever edition. Download this. Spend $7 for that. Buy the whole game, and you can play all these things. I'm like, you bastards. It kind of reminds me of Metal Gear Ground Zeroes in a way where it is. It's just a teaser, appetizer kind of thing, just to get you even more hungry for the main course. Mm-hmm. Like, those bastards.
Man.
Those bastards. But they do a good job. They do a good job.
Sure. I want to amend my last statement. I like, I do like the cartoony racing games like Mario Kart.
Sure.
Like a good Mario Kart.
Absolutely, man.
But the real world, like almost race simulator, where you can tweak your cars, like you can upgrade your engine or whatever. No, just give me a turtle shell and a banana peel.
See, man, I love Top Gear. You know I love real cars. I used to sell cars.
I know you love stroking your car when no one's looking.
Man, or sometimes when a good-looking lady is looking. Yeah.
I slap the trunk.
And actually, completely changing gears, back to Jupiter Ascending real
quick. Changing gears, Steve, really?
Oh, yeah. Stroking that car!
Oh, no!
I wanted to bring something up with you. So, Jupiter Ascending, as you know, is written, directed by the Wachowski siblings now.
Yes.
Who are obviously famous for doing The Matrix.
Yes.
I was looking for about like 45 Minutes to Kill the other night, and I saw that The Animatrix was on Netflix. I have seen The Animatrix before.
I thought that was the... No, sorry, the video game was Enter the Matrix.
And this brings me to my next point. I watched part of, because if you're not familiar with The Animatrix, it's basically like the backstory of several parts of The Matrix, but it is in short vignettes that's done in Japanese animation style. It's really cool. And so I watched a couple of those. Like I said, I've seen it before. And it got me thinking about really how cool the other things about The Matrix were, besides the fact that it's such an important and awesome movie. The fact that they did The Animatrix, the fact that they did Enter the Matrix before Reloaded came out, which was kind of another way to fill out the storyline and the world of The Matrix without, you know, you got to play, it was the Jada Pinkett Smith character, and there was another character that you kind of played through in that, and they're in Reloaded.
Yeah, and it wasn't a bad game.
No,
either.
It was not.
I remember it being pretty good,
it
actually.
Is, yeah, it was a pretty good game.
Okay, I didn't know, because that was before I had critical skills, so.
I think it's a PS2 game,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
But it was, and it made me think about how we've just been discussing the Marvel Universe, this juggernaut that you love so much, and I like a lot. But I'm feeling overwhelmed by all the movies and all the TV shows.
To be fair, you are easily overwhelmed.
Very true.
Yes.
Very true.
Drive Club, they couldn't give you the full game because you would have been way too overwhelmed.
That's actually not too far off. But and then I started thinking about how cool I thought the Matrix stuff was. That, and I'm trying to figure out, because they're very similar in trying to build this bigger, flushed out world. Like what?
Fleshed out world.
I know, I always say that. Damn it, I'm sorry. Makes me feel stupid, and I'm sorry.
Flush this world right out of here.
Why do I like the Matrix part, and why do I kind of resent the Marvel part of it? I was trying to figure it out. And I think part of it is that I didn't feel like the Matrix, I thought that it was a more varied approach on the Matrix way of this anime style, short vignettes, and video game, and a couple other things that were not quite as intrusive into my life, I suppose. It seemed more like the Matrix is the main dish, and here are some sides, an appetizer and a dessert, if you care to partake.
Yeah.
Because I know you're here for the steak, but here's some potatoes and a cheesecake and something else if you want it. I think I feel like with Marvel, it's here's some steak and some more steak. Did you want some more steak? How about some steak with your steak? Make sure you eat the steak before you eat your steak, otherwise you won't enjoy your steak. I'm like, I would like some potatoes, I think. I'd like some potatoes. And then what? I get the potatoes, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's like, this is triple dip, twice baked, three cheese plus three cheese mashed potatoes, twice baked with steak in it.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Oh, it's heavy potatoes.
Sure, Marvel does have, what, two movies coming out a year, maybe? at least one or two. They just had Ant-Man, and they just had Avengers, the second Avengers movie.
Yeah.
So
and there might, I don't know, is there another one this year?
Not this year, no.
Okay.
There's going to be a couple next year. Actually, I'm not going to, I actually don't know for sure. I don't know the release schedule. But yeah, so there's definitely more movies as opposed to waiting 2 years for more steak, if you will. But advertising nowadays has changed so much with the internet. You can't go on YouTube without before every YouTube video you watch, there's an ad for the latest Marvel movie.
That's true.
Yeah, and it's just, it's so intrusive into your life. And whenever you go to sites like IGN.com, like a pop-up ad pops up. Hey, have you heard of Ant-Man? Yes.
I have. Believe it or not, I have. I've been on the internet for 7 seconds. I've heard of Ant-Man.
Yeah, exactly. So their Marvel stuff is just everywhere. And so I can't fault you for being a little overwhelmed and being a little, okay, give me my space, please. So yeah, man, I understand that. But if we want to delve into it further, I really think the real reason why you were okay with The Matrix and not okay with the Marvel stuff is your deep-seated Oedipal issues. So
yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty clear.
It's pretty clear.
Pretty clear.
Yeah.
And also the fact that, I mean, the second Matrix is not particularly good either, and Marvel's had a much better string of good movies put together,
mm-hmm.
so they can launch that further as well. I don't know. I was trying to figure out, because in a lot of ways it's very similar in the way it's, if you just took one movie and trying to flesh out this world.
Very nice.
That I was like, but why do I like that the Matrix did it, and why do I resent the way Marvel is doing it?
Maybe
I shouldn't say resent. It's maybe too strong.
Maybe you feel the pressure vicariously from through Marvel. Did I use that correctly?
Vicarious. I don't think so. I mean,
well, I am pretty dumb. So
I mean, you know, fleshing out, but I don't think you know the proper way to use vicarious.
All right. Well, you feel the pressure monogamously through
there
Marvel.
We go.
There is. You feel the pressure for Marvel, I think, because you see all these big name actors, and they keep bringing in more and more and more and more characters as well. And you're like, this last event, you didn't like the last Avengers movie as much as the first Avengers. And maybe you're like, well, how the hell are they going to do this and put it all together for these new Avengers films, plus the show, plus the horrible tie-in video games?
Speaking of tying stuff in, I know we talked about this briefly as well, but I had a very in-depth conversation with Dan again today, who's a big, big comic book guy, a specifically Marvel comic mm-hmm. book guy. So he knows the real backstories of all these characters and the changes they've made for the films and this and that. So we're talking about it for 45 minutes today, and he was basically giving me Fantastic Four background and this and how, like, with a spoiler-free kind of version of Captain America Civil War and how the studio is going to fold in Spider-Man into this thing. And I know we talked about it before, but honestly, we talked about how Avengers 1, Joss Whedon was given an almost impossible job to bring this great, all these great characters together for this awesome movie. He did it. He hit a goddamn grand slam. It was amazing. The second one, they said, hey, I need you to do the same thing, but riding a unicycle over the Grand Canyon, juggling flaming chainsaws. Like, he dropped a few chainsaws, but it was still pretty good. I cannot fathom the difficulty of now incorporating all of the Avengers, Spider-Man, the Guardians of the Galaxy, the, like, Doctor Strange, God knows who the hell, is it Vision? Is that the guy that came in?
Vision, yep.
Vision, all the, and other characters I don't even know, over a 2-movie stretch.
Yeah.
And, of course, at the same time, they're going to have to throw in their Beats headphones and their Adidas drop and their Pepsi and whatever. Like, how the hell is Joss Whedon and everyone on that team gonna do it?
Well, Joss Whedon's done with Marvel.
What?
Yeah, Avengers 2 was his last thing. Like, he'll still be affiliated, I think, but he's pretty much done.
This is my immediate quote to learning that for the first time. Good fucking luck. Good luck. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's just one of the showrunners or something that was the next in command to Joss Whedon that is now at the helm for the next phase and whatever.
Possibly. I don't know what the extent is. Like, he's not completely done. I know he's not going to be directing the next Avengers film.
Sure. Maybe some sort of advisory role or something.
Yeah, consulting. Yeah. Yeah, like you said. So we'll see. I mean, I hope he is. I want him involved. I want him writing and directing every single movie.
Man.
But that's just me, because I'm a huge Joss fan.
God, I don't know. I honestly, it seems just so staggering. I have no idea how they do it. No idea.
Neither do I. Thank God we don't have to do it.
Thank God. All we do is talk about it a little bit.
That's right. Speaking of talking about things for a minute, Steve, let's get into some emails from last week's Top 5.
Yes.
Which was one of my favorite Top 5s we've done in a while. Top 5 Nerd Girls, baby.
Nerd Girls, yeah. And then we got into that sexy talk.
Oh, those juicy feelings.
Oh, baby. Them sweater... Sweater puppies?
Sweater puppies.
Yeah.
And girl, show me what's under that booty.
No, not under that booty. What's under that pantsuit?
Oh, no. Well, under that toe.
Baby, show me things under other things.
Under other things. TJ Bozarth, a.k.a. from Oogie with Love. First of all, he was not the biggest fan of our lists. And he says, Nana, don't feel too bad. I brought you here to give you the real answers.
Oh,
all right, TJ.
Finally.
Okay.
A light in this otherwise dark world.
That's right. His number 5, Linda Cardinale, the girl from Freaks and Geeks who eventually would be Velma. Also in Avengers.
Oh, holy wait. She became Velma?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Oh.
Oh.
I'm like doubly turned on right now.
So you picked her and you didn't even know it.
Yeah. I didn't know it was a double dip into the Freaks and Geeks as well. That's awesome.
Girl, you want a double
okay,
dip.
We can't.
Yeah,
we can't. By the way, hold on. I want to talk about Velma real quick.
Okay.
Just so I won't say I threw my wife under the bus earlier. She did want to see Jupiter Ascending. And about a third of the way through the movie, she looked at me and said, I'm sorry. So she knew.
Good, good.
But I'd also like to throw a couple points in my wife's corner right now, because she sent me a picture today of a girl cosplaying as Velma tied up in, like, BDSM stuff.
Oh.
And because she's like, I was just perusing around the internet, and I found this, so I sent it to you. Enjoy. I was like, God damn it, baby, I love you. I love you so much.
Now, in BDSM stuff, does she have the ball gag in her mouth, or is
she had a dominatrix? She had a rope in her mouth.
Okay.
So it was like her arms were behind her back. She was still in full Velma garb, tied behind her back with like ropes around her boobs. So it just like made her boobs like stick out even more. And she had huge boobs and tied at the feet. And I was like, God damn, Velma, you looking good.
Well, now we know how Steve likes his women. Tied up.
Tied up and in weird costumes.
His number 4 is Mary Elizabeth Winstead from Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, I thought about her too.
Yeah, thought about her. His number 3 is Brie Larson, a.k.a. Abed's girlfriend from Community. Adorable. Steve, are you familiar?
Nope.
All right. His number 2 is Danica McKellar, the little girl from Wonder Years who grew up to be a mathematician and a super hot actress.
Oh, that's it's Winnie from the Wonder Years, right?
Sure.
Did you ever watch the Wonder Years as a kid?
Nope.
I watched a couple episodes on like Nick at Night. I didn't watch it regularly. But...
Sure, sure. I watched the things more like Family Matters, Step by Step.
Yeah.
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh yeah, man.
Oh yeah.
Step by Step
and Day by Day.
Day by Day.
That's all I know. His number 1 though is Aubrey Plaza. She is the Hollywood go-to bitchy nerd. She even played Daria in a live-action short. The fact she didn't even get an honorable mention, he just says, dot, 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 dot.
Those are the dots of disappointment.
The most passive-aggressive dots I've ever seen.
You know what? I can kind of see why people like Aubrey Plaza. She is just not my cup of tea, personally.
Okay.
And I never thought about it before, but god damn does she make a great Daria. Wow. That's a great bit of casting right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Michael Vanderpool writes in his top 5. First of all, he says, Steve, he's got a recommendation for you on Netflix.
Oh, great.
It's called The Man of Tai Chi, directed by one Keanu Reeves, and he plays the villain. Supposedly, it's great.
Really? Wait, what is it called again?
The Man of Tai Chi.
Okay.
Yeah. So take a look at that.
Yeah, for
Let
sure,
me
man.
Know what you think.
Absolutely.
And he says, for me, I might be interested to know that Jewel State, along with other Canadian TV actress beauties, has just finished filming a movie called How to Plan an Orgy in a Small Town, due out next year. Oh, Michael, I've already got my advance tickets.
I've got the IMAX 3D tickets. Don't worry, friend.
And I got the D-box seats.
By the way, is there anything? I know this isn't a porno, but is there anything grosser than an IMAX 3D porno?
I haven't seen one, Steve. But tell me, is there?
Well, let me tell you all about it now.
All right, but his top five nerd girls are Ellen Page. He says, yeah. Used to hate Ellen Page because of Juno and scared of her because of Hard Candy, decided it was silly to hate her because of a movie and have since grown to love her, mostly because of Super.
I did not dig Super. I did like her in Super.
Yeah.
I did not like the movie Super. And she's very cute, but she's very much a lesbian in my eyes.
Okay.
She is a lesbian.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's a lesbian.
Okay, I thought you were just saying she's just a lesbian because she won't sleep with me.
I was like, hey, Ellen Page, let me tweet this at you. Let's have sex. She's like, no. I was like, lesbian!
And that's how the rumor got started.
You're such a lesbian!
By the way, Michael, thank you for including pictures. The one surefire way for your top five to get read.
Absolutely.
His number four is Linda Cardellini. Is it Linda Cardinelli or Linda Cardellini?
No, it's Cardellini, I believe.
Cardellini, there it is. The same actress we talked about earlier played Velma. His number three is Juno Temple.
She is. Let's go back real quick. Scrolling back up. Yeah, guys, I'm sorry. That was an oversight on my part. I kind of half got it with the Velma, but I didn't know the treasure trove upon which I was speaking.
Yes.
Well done, everybody. Thank you. Well done.
Kudos to all of you out there.
I feel like that's a team five and out win right there. Well done, everybody. Well done.
Our mission has been accomplished.
Damn.
His number three is Juno Temple. Sometimes I think she is uniquely stunning. Others, I think she is kind of ugly. I'm confused, but always intrigued. And there's a picture. And I will say, she has driven Steve to a coughing fit.
I don't. She wouldn't be in my top five, but this is not a picture to me that I think enraptures me.
Okay. His number two is Mary Elizabeth Winstead from Scott Pilgrim, also from Sky High.
Didn't see Sky High.
I actually love Sky High.
I heard it was actually pretty good.
It's really freaking good, dude. And his number one, Summer Glau, and he just says, duh. Dot, 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 dot.
Man, we're getting a lot of ellipses thrown our way today.
I know. A lot of passive-aggressive ellipses.
Now, obviously, I know Summer Glau from
whoa!
Wow, she is. That is the miracle of a push-up bra we're looking at, friends. And you know what? I would just like to thank this gentleman once again for sending in this well-thought-out and well-constructed email full of beautiful pictures of beautiful, beautiful women. I give it a goddamn A+.
That's right. Michael, you make our top five of top five emails.
I know Summer Glau, obviously, from Firefly and Serenity. What else has Summer Glau been in?
She has been in the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Oh, that's right.
Which
okay.
is apparently pretty good. She was also in, I think she was in The Cape, I believe.
Okay.
And she was also in The Knights of Badassdom.
Okay. All right.
So she's been in some things, nerdy things.
I don't... Because I only know her from Serenity and Firefly, I see her more as a badass chick than I do a nerdy chick.
I don't know what to...
You are awestruck. You are dumbfounded by the words I've said.
Again, I think it's your deep-seated Oedipal issues. I think that's what's happening.
And what do you... Why do you see her as a nerdy girl?
Because she's in nerdy things.
She's almost too beautiful to me to be real nerdy.
Really? To me, she'd...
She's not beautiful.
She's
too sexy.
She's too... Oh,
she's too sexy.
I didn't think of her that way.
I do.
Oh. I mean, she definitely moves very sexily.
Yes. Okay, maybe it's just my opinion. My opinion. That's
sure,
all.
Sure. I mean, I'm not giving you a passive-aggressive ellipses over here.
I kind of feel a little passive-aggressive.
Dot, 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 dot.
Dot, dot. Dot.
I'm just going to start using that in everyday conversation. Whenever someone says something stupid, I'm just going to be like, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, people are going to love that.
Yep.
You're going to be real popular.
Yes, sir. But guys, as always, we love hearing what you guys have to say.
And even more, we love seeing visual proof of beautiful women.
We didn't believe that beautiful women existed.
But now I know different.
That's right.
Unless you're all Photoshop masters.
But Steve, I hate to say it, but we got to move away from the beautiful women.
We don't have to.
We have to.
All right. To beautiful men we go.
That's right. Chris Hemsworth.
Damn it.
Yep.
I quit. Don Draper's penis.
Let's move to beautiful commercials.
Yes, I actually, this is a listener submitted top five.
Yes, Alec, thank you so much for writing in this top five.
And I had a lot of fun with this top five. I didn't realize how many commercials I really liked.
Okay.
So this top five commercials, this can be whether it is funny. Mm-hmm. Tugs on the heartstrings, informative, whatever the hell your top five best commercials are. Doesn't have to be Super Bowl, doesn't have to be just whatever you want.
Sure.
So, Wes, would you like to start or shall I?
I would like to start and...
So I will begin.
Okay, great. So my number five, it's a classic commercial. There was a parody of it a little bit in The Mask. It's the spicy meatball commercial from, like, the 1960s. It is the Alka-Seltzer commercial, Spicy Meatball. This is the commercial where it's we see this actor. He's eating this meatball, and he's filming a commercial. It's like a commercial within a commercial. And he keeps
Meta.
I know, right? I think this might have been the first meta thing ever.
In recorded history.
Yeah.
This very well may be the first meta commercial.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he keeps getting the line wrong. Things keep falling off of the set. He keeps... Like, he forgets to do the accent a couple times. And then it's like, hey, you know, have an Alka-Seltzer. It calms the stomach. And it's like, it got the actual point across of the selling point of the product. And it was really funny. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it might have been the first, well, definitely commercial, to do something like this. And it still holds up to this day.
Why is this on your list?
Because it's classic, Steve.
Where did you see this commercial?
It was like something random that I saw like years ago. I thought, you know what would be cool to bring up on my list? Is this old classic commercial.
So just earlier, you were talking about how you used to watch SNCC. When I watched some SNCC too, my friend, I don't recall the 1968 Alka-Seltzer commercial making an appearance.
I don't know, man. It's something that I saw like years ago, and obviously not on SNCC. But...
But maybe, yeah. When I was watching something else on Nick at Night, I'd see one of these things.
Sure, sure. But like, dude, you didn't say, we didn't have a time frame.
That's
on
true.
These commercials.
I'm just surprised that you even know of this commercial.
I think it had to do, like I said, that's a spicy meatball. And so I was like, maybe like one of my grandparents is like, you know, it's from a commercial, right?
I was just going to ask you. So this, that's a spicy meatball. That's from this commercial?
Yep.
I've said that a million times because I like lame things.
It's from this commercial.
I did not know that.
See?
Yeah.
Now you're interested.
I am interested.
Yeah, you see those gears turning.
They're slow and rusty.
That hamster wheel.
Oh,
that hamster's,
man.
Dead.
So long ago.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting pick.
Yeah. I'm an interesting person.
That's not true.
I know.
I once heard that Alka-Seltzer was a great cure for a hangover.
Is it really?
Well, let me tell you my findings. So I went out and I bought Alka-Seltzer. And my wife specifically was like, what is this? Why did you buy Alka-Seltzer? And I was like, I just heard it was good for hangover. She's like, okay, whatever. And so I'm hungover one day. I'm like, oh, God, I do not feel good. Alka-Seltzer, yeah! Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
Oh, boy.
You don't. You have to know that.
I do.
Okay. So I get my, just like in the commercial, I get the kind of like the tumbler glass for my Alka-Seltzer. You know,
yeah.
Not a big glass. I'm like, yeah.
You put whiskey in it.
Absolutely. That's what it fizzes in. It only reacts to whiskey.
Yeah.
So I'm doing this right. I'm like, I'm just like the commercial showed me. I plop, plop. It fizz, fizzes. And I drink like, God, oh, what a... I had violent, foaming vomit. Like, instantaneous. You know when you, whatever it is you drop into one of those science fair volcanoes, to, it actually may be an Alka-Seltzer you drop into a volcano. It is exactly what happened. I became a human Alka-Seltzer volcano. It's like, this is a cure! This is a cure!
It gets it out of you.
Holy sh! But the thing is, I just finished throwing up. And I was like, oh, Alka-Seltzer, be my sweet relief.
So did you plot more after that?
No! Fuck no, man! I now have a full box of Alka-Seltzer minus one packet. It's been sitting in my house for like a year.
Oh, just getting better with age.
God! It was almost instantaneous. Like, well, let me just
randomly, since you talked about this, do you remember Conker's Bad Fur Day?
Dude, that is a big miss on my part. Oh. I remember it coming out, but I never really played it.
Used to love that game. One of the Let's Play websites that I go to, they did about a half hour of Conker's Bad Fur Day, and they... At the beginning of Conker's Bad Fur Day, he's hungover, and you have to find Alka-Seltzer to cure the hangover. So what you're saying is, he should have immediately vomited squirrel acorns.
You know what? I feel as if maybe I should give it another shot, but I had such a bad experience.
Now that it's been fermenting for the past year.
I feel like Alka-Seltzer is one of those things that lasts forever.
I don't even know what's in it. Is it? What is it?
It's super basic.
Ipecac?
It's like two, yeah, fizzy Ipecac. Yeah. I think it's two things. It's like sodium
pentothal.
Yeah. So it'll really hang. You won't feel the hangover anymore, that's for sure. Anyway, moving on. This one is a bit of a cheat, but I know it's not on your list.
Already, Steve.
Yeah.
You're
cheating. It's one specific, but I'm going to use the ESPN This Is SportsCenter commercial.
Lame.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Okay, well, This Is SportsCenter is the ongoing just running commercial for SportsCenter. They've done, I don't know, 50 plus of these commercials. They're all 30 seconds, whatever. But my specific favorite is one that came out right about Y2K. So basically, the basic concept of these commercials, they bring a famous athlete in to be with one of the SportsCenter guys and do some sort of funny concept about those guys. They do a Y2K one, and they have two of the SportsCenter anchors, and they're like, no, we're totally prepared. We run drills all the time. And like, and drill beginning in 3, 2, 1, all the lights go out, like emergency lights start spinning, and Mark McGwire, who I know you know, one of the home run kings.
Yeah, so yeah.
They cut the cameras like jittery. It cuts to him. They're all in the offices of ESPN. He's hitting the keyboard of a computer with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
They cut to Charlie Steiner, one of their main anchors. He's got a tie around his head with a lantern, and he goes, "Follow me. Follow me to freedom." And it wasn't even Y2K. It was a drill for Y2K.
Okay.
That was my favorite one for a very long time, and it is the best one. But the one that just kind of sits in my heart a little bit, and I think even you would appreciate this, there is the mascot for the University of Oregon is a duck. It's the Oregon Ducks. So their mascot is this big white duck. So they show this duck in his corner office. He's got a window seat, and it's a guy in the mascot uniform typing on his computer. And he just slowly turns out to his window, and he sees two ducks floating in the pond outside of his window. And he looks back. And he slowly tilts his head down. And something about that to me is so funny. It's so funny to me. So there, if you're a sports fan at all, you know these commercials. They're great. There's like 50 of them. But the Y2K one and the Oregon duck looking out longingly at live ducks. Just, it really hits home for me for some reason. And I really appreciate it. So... my number five is the, as a series, This Is SportsCenter commercials.
Okay, I'm going to let that cheat slide because I may have a similar cheat coming up. But my number four, it's the Terry Tate Reebok.
Office linebacker.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Reebok commercial.
Yes.
Is this on your list?
It is not.
Oh, man.
Narrowly missed it,
though. It's so fucking funny. This is the only type of commercial like this on my list because the joke of the commercial has nothing to do with the product.
No, not at all.
Whatsoever. But it's just hilarious.
It is.
And this, I think it aired during the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I believe. Yeah, yeah. For those of you who don't know, it's, well, it's what it sounds. The office linebacker. When somebody, for example, takes 15 minutes too long on their break, Terry Tate comes up and tackles the shit out of them.
And you are not selling it short when you say tackles the shit out of them.
No.
These are extreme football hits.
Yeah.
But it is dude in a tie and a button down.
Yep.
And this 260-pound jacked black dude that's just like, I think he is an actual former NFL player.
Yeah.
And he just lights them up.
He is throwing people everywhere.
It's awesome.
Yes. And the reason why it was so low on my list, because the actual commercial itself did not sell the selling point. It was just funny. You know what I mean? I judge these commercials based on humor and how well they represented the selling point.
Interesting.
Yes.
That was not how well it sells something to me was not even close on my list.
Well, now I just said that and I can't take it back because I'm viewing my number one and the selling point has nothing to do with the commercial. So anyway, that was my number four, Terry Tate, office linebacker.
So speaking of absolutely not selling the product in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't think you even see the product in this one. I'm almost certain you've seen this commercial. But this is not this last Super Bowl. It is the one previous. This is the Bruno Mars halftime Super Bowl one.
Okay.
This is the Budweiser Best Buds commercial.
God damn it, Steve.
And this is for those who have not seen it, there's two. They ran this one first in 2014, then they ran the companion one the following year. I don't even want to talk about it because it makes me so sad.
Is this the one with the puppy?
It's the puppy one.
And the horse.
That's my
number one.
Is it really?
That's my number one!
Okay, then let's table it.
Okay.
Let's table it for number, because it deserves that.
Yeah, yeah.
It deserves, we'll hold that off till then.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So that's my number four then.
Okay, well, that's my, it's coupled with something. That's my cheat one.
Okay, anyway. We'll discuss them both when we get to number one.
Sounds good. My number three, I put this on here because it really changed the face of insurance commercials. The Geico Gecko.
What are the, okay, I didn't realize you were going to be doing these commercials from,
We didn't say.
No, you know, I know. I'm not saying you're doing it wrong.
You're implying
just,
that.
You're just doing it so different. You're doing this from, like, the AFI list of commercials. Like, one of the most culturally important commercials.
Steve.
Breaking down the long-held barriers between animation and car insurance.
Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot. Motherfucker.
The Geico Gecko changed the face of insurance commercials and put Geico on the map. And granted, it did spawn some really shitty ad campaigns. I think the cavemen were funny for a while.
They were.
Yeah.
Then they got their own television show.
Oh, boy. Did that flop.
Wow. Ultra flop.
But I mean, if I'm going to pick one, it would have to be the original, which, you know, the Gecko, voiced by Kelsey Grammer, by the way.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. He's
good trivia. That's a good trivia question right there.
I think it's just for the first commercial, though.
Okay.
I'll have to check on that. But he's holding a press conference, and it's so simple. It's just like, I just want people to know to stop calling me and asking for Geico, which would save you hundreds of money on their car insurance. I'm a gecko.
I love saving hundreds of money on my car insurance. Yeah,
hundreds of money. Hundreds of buck on my car insurance.
Do you have money?
Yeah.
Would you like 100 more of it? Sure. Yeah. Okay. Go to Geico. Okay.
That is the extended version.
Director Scott.
Yeah. And then the gecko licks its own eye with its tongue. It was funny. No one had really seen something like that for a car insurance commercial, which were all very dry. You know, like Dennis Haysbert up there for Allstate being like, this could happen to you. And, like, that's all they saw. And then here's Geico with its funny, humorous, tongue-in-cheek commercial about a gecko being mad about getting called all the time. And it still had the selling point in there because you save hundreds of money.
Hundreds of money on your car insurance.
So, yeah, man, it was just a well-rounded commercial.
Okay. Your picks do not stop astounding me.
Steve, dot, dot, dot. Yeah,
okay.
God.
Okay. I went with a more radio-based commercial for number three, but there was, I believe there were a few TV drops on this as well. And this is...
Was it a drop, drop, fist, fist?
Oh, what a... This is probably my favorite ad campaign of all time, as opposed to just singular commercial. And this is the Bud Light / Budweiser Real Men of Genius commercials.
Okay.
You just said okay because you don't know what this commercial is.
Should we take a TV timeout?
Because they are effing hilarious. Before we take a TV timeout, let me set out the guidelines of how this works. It is, there is an announcer who, and actually here's a little trivia bit about this as well. The way these commercials are 1 minute long. There is a standard rubric that is used for all of them. It starts out with saying, sorry, let me start that again. Standard rubric. This was originally called Real American Heroes.
Okay.
And then the attacks of September 11th happened. Then they changed it to Real Men of Genius, okay, which is a very smart move, I think. But there is an announcer and there is a background singer. The background singer is actually the dude from the band Survivor, who you know from Eye of the Tiger from the Rocky movies.
Mm-hmm.
He's the dude that sings in the background of these commercials. So it's always the same thing. They say, Real Men of Genius, guy from Survivor, Real Men of Genius, how every single one starts. And then they say, we salute you, Mr. And it's just, it's something to the effect of like, Mr. Rolling Cooler Roller. Or like, guy who invented the taco salad. And then the announcer says something about the guy. Guy in the background sings a little something. He's like, oh my God, it's salad. Like, every single commercial has the same exact rubric and they are fucking great. I could honestly listen to them for like 45 minutes.
I think I know what you're talking about, but I still want to take a TV timeout.
They are amazing. So I'm going to give you my recommendation of my two favorite ones. So if you're not familiar with these, put this baby on pause, go over to the YouTubes and check these two out. My second favorite one is Taco Salad Inventor. That is my second favorite. And my number one favorite Real Men of Genius is its Pro Sports Heckler. So we're going to take a TV timeout and we'll be right back. So there you go, Wes. That's how the basic structure is. Announcer says something. Guy from Survivor says one line in singy voice behind it. I love them. I love these commercials.
That was really funny. I really like the sports heckler dude.
It's so good.
It's really funny.
They made over 100 of these commercials.
What?
And honestly, they're so good, man. I've listened to them for 30 minutes at a time. They're awesome.
Oh my God.
They're so good.
I have to look up more of them.
And part of me, there's a real deep-seated thing in me that loves backup singers in general, especially Motown-style backup singers. So even just talking about regular things, to have a guy be like, oh my God, that's great. just to have that is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I love backup singers.
All right, man.
So my number three is the Real Men of Genius commercials.
My number two, I believe, is also another superhero.
Stupid hero?
It was a Super Bowl commercial. This is a nationwide commercial starring KFED.
Is nationwide on your side?
It's on KFED's side.
Nationwide is on your side.
Thank you, Steve.
No problem.
Okay. This is the one where it starts out with KFED's music video. Like, yeah, I'm fucking bitches.
Hold on.
Got
are
all
you,
the money.
Are you saying KFED as in Kevin Federline?
Yeah.
You're dropping KFED on me?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm embarrassed I knew that that's what you're talking about.
Well, have you seen this commercial?
I don't think so.
Well, let me tell you all about it. So it starts out the music video. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like rolling in vagina. Have all this money. Look at my sexy car. Look at my sexy lady. And then it shoots to KFED watching his own music video as he's working the fries at a fast food restaurant. And then it's like life comes at you fast. So if you're not prepared, you know, you should have Nationwide or something like that. So
it's pretty good.
It's really funny. It's surprising that they got KFED to do that, because this is back when KFED actually...
Stop saying KFED!
I can't. I've started, and now I can't stop.
feel like you give the guy way too much credit.
K-Fed.
Oh, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, and they actually got him to do that. And also, the selling point is very clear. Yeah. So,
okay.
There you go, man. That's my number two.
Okay. All right, not nearly as fun as listening to 2 hours of Real Men of Genius.
Hey, I didn't say it was.
Okay. Okay. All right, this is one that...
Is there 2 hours of Kevin Federline's anything out there?
I truly don't think so, and thank God. Thank God. You know, that's a guy that just straight up got famous for marrying someone.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he had the grace, I use that word loosely, but to be like, hey, I don't belong here. I'm going to enjoy this literal 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I'm a split.
Didn't he? But he did music videos and tried to have a music career, right?
I feel like he gave it a half-ass attempt of just trying it. And then maybe I don't give him enough credit because I feel like he was one of the few guys like, hey, I'm going to be famous for a minute. Can I be famous? Everyone says no. Okay. I'll just go then.
Maybe he was just so under your radar that he was like...
I feel like the dude just... He popped his head up real quick, and then he got whack-a-moled, and he left, and he was like, hey, gave it a shot, didn't work out, whatever.
Well, sure, he's not doing anything crazy nowadays to try to stay in the tabloids or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I...
Or maybe he is, and even the tabloids are like, sorry, man, Lindsay Lohan's still nuts.
K-Fed, he's like, I'm eating Play-Doh! Look at me! Put me in the National Enquirer. K-Fed eats Play-Doh.
I'm rubbing petroleum jelly on my belly.
It's like, what? Federline, the hell are you doing? You don't even buy into this. Like, no.
No, I don't.
It's half-assed. Yeah. This isn't really Play-Doh. I'm sorry.
That's my number two, Nationwide with the old K-Fed.
Okay, this is one that I'm actually going to make you watch.
Oh.
Because this is a commercial from the UK.
Okay.
And... I don't know how I stumbled upon this commercial. Okay. I think someone said this is a really funny commercial, you should watch it, and I did. This is for a beer brand, not very big in the US, called Carlton. It's Carlton Draft. And the basic concept of this video, it's really quite brilliant. It is four bank robbers walk into a bar and they slap down this big duffel bag full of money. And they get their four Carlton beers. And they look to the right and realize that they're in a cop bar. So they run outside with their beers in their hand, but they don't get in their car because they know they cannot have open beers in their car, despite the fact they have a big-ass bag of money.
Yeah.
So this becomes a stereotypical high-speed chase, or like a chase scene from a movie with the cops chasing these dudes, but the cops also have their beer, so they also don't get in their car. So it is the four bank robbers stand two by two as if they are in a car, and they run with their beer as the cops stand two, 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 as if there's two guys in each cop car,
yeah,
as they run behind them down the street. So at one point, the cops come up next to the guys, and they lean over towards the cops, and the cops go flying into these big boxes. And they, so it is everything that is a Hollywood chase scene, but it is these cops chasing guys as they just kind of jog through the streets. It's brilliant. It is a brilliant piece of satire as well as, you know, parody of, I should say more of a parody, not satire, parody of these big budget action movies. And it also says, you know, drink responsibly and don't drink and drive. It's phenomenal.
Let's take a TV timeout. All right, I'll give it to you. That was a really good commercial.
Yeah, right? It's an 80s action movie parody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really good. Honestly, please pause this. Please go check it out. I think it's awesome.
Take your own TV timeout.
Yes. Zach Morris, the shit out of this.
That's right. So that was your number two.
Absolutely.
Well, see, this brings me to my number one, which is the aforementioned Best Buds commercial.
Yes.
Which is when, the puppy befriends the horse and they try to take the puppy away or something like that. Or the puppy gets adopted by somebody else.
The puppy keeps breaking out of its little area to go hang out with the horses,
mm-hmm,
and then they keep bringing the puppy back, and then it tries to get adopted, and the horses chase down the car,
yeah,
and return the puppy back to the horses and the guy that works for Budweiser and like tends the horses.
Yep, that is one of them. This is my cheat because there's another one kind of like that one. I think it's called like the Brotherhood ad. It was from the year before. It's when this farmer raises this baby colt up to a horse.
Oh,
then Then he sells it to Budweiser to be a Budweiser Clydesdale.
Yep.
And then there's a huge parade, and the guy finds a news story that the Budweiser Clydesdales are going to be in Chicago. So he goes, and he goes to the parade, and then you think that the horse doesn't notice him there on the side, so he starts walking away. But then you see the horse galloping from behind him to catch up to him, and then they nuzzle and hug, and it's adorable, and it brings a tear to your eye. And just both of these commercials, kind of the same thing, really, but both are amazing. They have the great soundtracks as well.
They do.
They do. And it really does just bring a little moistness to your eye.
And speaking of that, so I was at work today, and I was, you know, thinking about my favorite commercials. So I went back, you know, and rewatched them. I knew what was in the list. I was like, I just want to have them fresh in my mind. So I watched the Best Buds one again, the Budweiser, the puppy meeting the horses. And I'm sitting there at work, and the commercial is, what, like a minute long probably? Yeah. And I sit there, and I'm watching, and I'm like, oh, that puppy. That fence just can't hold that puppy, can it?
That's right.
And like, oh, he's so adorable, and he's spinning. And then the horses, when they're running behind the car to essentially rescue the puppy, I swear to God, there was a tear in my eye. And I was like, oh, what the fuck is happening to me? Why am I this way, where I am crying at work from a goddamn beer commercial?
You know what's creepy? You never see what happens to the dude who wanted to adopt that puppy.
Oh, he's eaten.
Yeah, the horses ate that dude.
And they save the head of that man for the puppy to eat. Dude, I'm at work, and I'm getting all emotional from this goddamn beer commercial. So, and I turn to Dan at work, and I'm like, oh, dude, this is even worse than I remember it. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Because I remember watching at the Super Bowl being like, those bastards.
Yeah,
like, we're all laughing, eating wings, drinking beer, talking about football, having a good time, and they just drop a heartfelt bomb on all of us.
Yeah.
Who do they think they are?
Yeah, with one of the most adorable puppies in the world.
Oh, my God, man.
It's so playful, so wonderful.
It's just a beautiful little golden lab puppy.
Yeah, yeah.
Hanging out with this monster of a horse.
Yeah.
The biggest horse in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, man.
It's heartwarming. I almost said heartbreaking. No, it's heartwarming.
And then you, of course, saw the follow-up with the puppy one.
I didn't, actually.
You didn't? Really?
Yeah, I didn't.
Oh, well, after the podcast, we've got the sequel to watch, buddy.
Oh, I can't wait.
Then I'm not even going to give you spoilers about it.
All right.
I'll tell you this. It is not the Empire Strikes Back to the Star Wars, but it is a very worthy sequel, I will say.
Does the Vision show up in this one?
Yeah, so you've seen it.
I've seen it, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, man, those are... In talking about not showing the product at all,
nope.
Budweiser and Coca-Cola and maybe a few other companies are in that rarefied air where they don't need to sell the actual product because it is so well known, it is so important to many people that they just need to sell a general feeling about their product. Like a really great one that did not make my list. So it was a quick honorable mention. I don't know if you remember the Coke commercial. I think it was maybe last year, within the last 2 years, where they had security cameras right by Coke vending machines, and they recorded for a year or something. It took all this footage of people sharing Cokes with one another, and like guy buying another guy a Coke because like he doesn't have money, or for like a homeless guy, and they sit down and share a Coke. And you know, the general idea is they don't really show Coke products. They're like, hey, share a Coke, be a human being, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone has fun when they drink Coke. It's like, damn it, Coke! You're so good!
Yeah, yeah.
And to be fair, Coke is delicious.
It is.
It's horrible for you.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the huge problems, Budweiser and Coke, coincidentally, don't have to advertise their product because people love it so much, and two of the biggest problems in American society.
Yeah.
So thank you, guys. But God damn it, do they make a good commercial.
That's true. That's my number one, the Best Buds, and then the Brotherhood.
Well, I'm going to stay in that Budweiser line there.
See, that's four straight beer commercials on your list.
You know what? I just realized I do have three. Yeah, I got a lot of beer here.
Yeah.
Got a lot of beer. I love beer. It's delicious.
Yeah.
And they do. I think it is a fairly well-known fact that beer commercials tend to be the funniest overall commercials,
sure.
I would say.
Sure.
This commercial is... It is certainly no Best Buds. It is certainly no Real Men of Genius with the ingenuity of that. This commercial just caught me unawares, and I thought it was hilarious, and I still think it's funny. When I think funniest commercial of all time, to me, this is the very first thing that pops into my mind. It's so dumb, and I love it. It is from Bud Light, and it is... It says, Bud, like, the setup to the commercials, Bud Light, like, better taste, less filling, blah, blah, blah. And now with the power to talk to animals.
That's
so
right.
The guy opens up the fridge, grabs his Bud Light, and turns to his dog. He's like, hey, buddy, how was your day? You're thinking it's some sort of Dr. Doolittle thing. And the dog sitting in front of him just goes, sausage, 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 sausages, sausages, please, sausages. And the guy has such this, like, defeated look on his face. You're like, yeah, what did you expect? Oh, well, Wes, my day today was a delight. There's, like, this, you know, you expect a Pixar-esque kind of, you know, a Disney animal to talk to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Sausage, sausage, sausages, sausages, sausage. And then there's a squirrel at the window, and he looks and he says, well, what about you, buddy? He goes, man, mind your own business.
Oh, man, I remember that commercial. That is super duper funny.
It was so funny to me, man. Just the, like, what? Of course. What do you think a dog's going to want?
Yeah.
He's going to want goddamn food, man.
Pretty one-track minded.
I mean, I could imagine him saying, sausages, sausage, belly rubs, belly rubs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. And it just caught me so unaware, man. I thought it was so goddamn funny.
They had others, like Budweiser, now with the power of fill in your own thing here. Like,
yeah.
But that's definitely the funniest one and the only one I can think of right now.
Yeah, that is the one that absolutely sticks out to me. And, I just love that commercial. It is truly one of my favorites.
Yeah, dude, that's a good one.
That is why it is my numero uno.
Well, Steve, my top five in review. Got some doozies on here for you. I've astounded you a couple of times,
you
I believe.
Sure did.
It's the spicy meatball with the Alka-Seltzer. Number four is the Terry Tate office linebacker from Reebok. My number one is K-Fed, baby. Nationwide is on your side. My number two is, my number three was the Geico Gecko. Number two is the K-Fed. My number one was the Brotherhood / Best Butts.
Number five, ESPN. This is SportsCenter, specifically the duck looking at ducks.
I wonder what Steve does in his spare time. Four beers and a sports commercial.
Oh, shit. You know what? Actually, I'm glad you said that. I'm going to throw an honorable mention in because, honestly, this would kick off my number five. I just thought of it right now.
Okay.
Do you remember the PlayStation 3 commercial probably 2.5 years ago?
Oh, my God. Yes, I know which one you're
going to say. How did
I not
think of this commercial until right now?
Yep.
I'm so glad so now we don't have to have everyone write in and say, how do you not say this commercial?
We talk about video games every single goddamn week.
I cannot remember the name of the guy that they cheers because the commercial is called, you know, like, Wes or whatever it is. It's all of the famous PS3 characters. It's Sweet Tooth, Nathan Drake, Solid Snake.
Kratos.
Kratos. They're all in a, like the dudes from Call of Duty or Medal of Honor. Mm-hmm. They're all in a bar, and they talk about the way that I'm just going to use what is his name, like Greg or something like that.
I think his name is Wes.
Sure, we'll call him Wes.
Yeah.
That it's like, I stormed the beaches of Normandy with Wes. It's like, oh yeah, well, like he helped me slay a god, you know. Or it's all these famous characters from PlayStation sharing a beer. Talking about the trials and tribulations of Wes. Mm-hmm. And at the end, they give everyone in the bar gives a cheers to Wes. You know, their player. Mm-hmm. They are the characters. He is the player. The commercial is awesome. It's so good.
By the way, the trials and tribulations of Wes is my autobiography. It'll be on shelves this fall, so be on the lookout for that.
It'll be on shelves forever, because no one will buy it.
That's right. It'll gather dust.
But didn't someone just say the name of your actual, what should really be your autobiography, like 2 weeks ago?
Oh, what was it? Juicy Feelings and and Underpants Suits.
That's it.
That's right.
God, so that's, you know, that's my number five. There it is. That's my number five.
Okay, so video games and four beers.
There we go. Number four is, it was Best Buds, as we talked about. Number three was Real Men of Genius.
Real Man of Genius. Very nice.
Thank you. Number two, the Carlton high-speed chase. And number one, sausage, 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 sausages, sausage, please, sausage.
Belly rubs, toy, sausage. Toy, chew toy.
So that, man, I really enjoyed this top five a lot.
Yeah, man. Thank you, Alec, again, for writing this in. Guys, again, please, write in your top five commercials. There are so many commercials out there, Steve. If we do this a few weeks from now, both of us will probably have completely different top fives.
I'm really glad at the last moment we caught that PS3 commercial.
Yeah. Because
that's a phenomenal commercial. So again, this, like we said, this is a listener-submitted top five. We love hearing these from you guys, so let us know your top five commercials. Let us know a top five you want to let us do in the future.
Yes, let us do.
Let us do this.
Yep. you can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can email us at 5playnet@gmail.com.
We look forward to hearing from you guys this week. And as always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was five.
And we're out.